almost about that time. Right about now.
Right about now. Right about now.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Right About Now. I am your host, Jonathan Small, and it has been far too long, I feel like, since we've just talked one-on-one like this. I've missed you. So today on the show, we're going to be talking to Sarah Werner, who is the host of another podcast that I recommend very highly called Right Now with Sarah Werner. No relation to Right About Now with Jonathan Small. Sarah also produces a fictional podcast called Girl in Space, which caused her to discover a whole new outlet for her writing that I thought you might be really interested to hear about.
There are people who are hungry and desperate for audio storytelling. And if you're a struggling writer right now, it might be worth taking a look at jumping into podcasting to tell your story. I get emails like, when is the next episode? I'm addicted to the show. I need it.
Now, I recorded this interview quite a while ago. I actually lost the interview. I didn't tell Sarah this, but then I found it in a hard drive. And so it has resurfaced and not a minute too soon, because it actually turns out I have something new to promote for Sarah, something that has happened since we last spoke, and that is that she is now offering a podcasting masterclass, which covers everything from the idea of your podcast to a successful launch and beyond. And the class begins on September 3rd, 2018. And to find out more about it, all you have to do is go to Sarah Werner, sarahwerner.com/podcast-now. Man, I wish I knew about that class before my launch. Okay, so much to catch you up on. I just got back from Philadelphia. I went to a podcasting convention called Podcast Movement, where it was like an incredible experience. I met tons of fellow podcasters, people who are just getting into it, people who have been doing it since 2012. I didn't even know there was podcasting in 2012. I met a bunch of producers. I met some advertisers. I met people who make the equipment. I met people who specialize in marketing. Everybody was there. It was so interesting. If you ever have an interest in podcasting, I highly recommend that you go to this convention. And I learned a ton. And it was one of those things where I was writing down so many notes. I was so excited the entire time I was there. And as the days now have worn on, I'm back home in LA, resuming my life as usual. Some of the enthusiasm that I had when I was there has started to taper. So I'm trying to keep the enthusiasm alive. And the only way to really do that is to just really do some of the things that I wrote down in my must-do list. Well, one of the big things I took away from the podcast convention is that I, Jonathan Small, have to do a little bit of a better job at reaching out to you, my Right About Now listeners, to find out exactly what you want to learn from this podcast. You know, I initially put this podcast out actually to draw attention to my work as a writing coach and a ghostwriter and a 25-year veteran in journalism. But the podcast has sort of become something else. It's become my way of communicating all that I've learned over the years with you through interviews, and also having the opportunity to ask the questions that I've always wanted to ask my peers. So I'm sort of learning along with you, and that has been really fun. One of the things I'd like to add more to the podcast is my own experience in writing, sort of sharing with you what I struggle with, because Lord knows I struggle, and how I overcome some of the obstacles that get in my way. I think part of the problem has been that I'm not always writing a story. I have a lot of different jobs. I'm consulting. I'm producing other people's podcasts. I am editing greenentrepreneur.com, which I encourage you to check out, which requires me to do more editing than actually writing. So here's what I'm going to do. Here was my big takeaway from Podcast Movement 18. I am going to write a book about writing. And I'm not only going to write a book about writing, but I am going to podcast on my podcast about writing about the book that I am writing about writing. Now, if that is not meta enough for you, then you are just meta crazy. So I am going to take you through the process of myself struggling and agonizing and grinding my teeth and going through all the self-doubt and the frustrations of writing a book that is specifically about writing. And I will share those struggles every week with you as a sort of therapy, if you will. And I won't just share the writing struggles. I also want to take you through the editing process, the publishing process, and everything that I learn, all the mistakes I hopefully don't make in getting this book published. I haven't even decided whether I want to self-publish or whether I want to go the traditional publishing route. So lots of things to look forward to. Yikes! And I am really also hoping this is kind of a two-way relationship where I am going to ask you guys a lot of questions, and I'm going to encourage you to get back to me either through email or social media or whatever we decide, because I'd love your feedback, and I'd love this to be a joint effort, and it would be just a wonderful way to work with such amazing creative people. Another big personal thing. I have to have hip surgery. I have to get a new hip. I thought like really old people had to do that, but it turns out that not so much. So I have to get a new hip. So I'm going to be a little bit out of commission. Not sure if I'm going to get a podcast up next week. I'm going to try my darndest. The doctor tells me that I will be able to record from the gurney. And so I am going to bring my equipment to the hospital and just really, you know, record from there. Now, I probably won't record from there, but I will do some editing from my hospital room. I should be on my feet the very next day. I've got some amazing podcasts lined up. David Itzkoff, the New York Times writer who just wrote Robin Williams's biography. I've got the editor-in-chief of Good Housekeeping, the editor-in-chief of O, the magazine. I mean, I've got some pretty damn good guests coming up. So I'm excited about that. But I'm also excited about talking about my book. And I think the next time we talk, or the next email you get from me, if you're not on my email list, please sign up via my website at www.writeaboutnowmedia.com/subscribe. Or you can send me an email, Jonathan, J-O-N-A-T-H-N, at writeaboutnowmedia.com. But anyway, let's get to my interview with Sarah. Such a cool person, such a great voice, great speaking voice. I can see why her podcast is so successful. So here, without further ado, is my interview with Sarah Werner. Sarah Ray Werner, welcome to Write About Now.
Well, thank you so much, Jonathan Small. I'm so glad to be here.
First of all, disclaimer, we have very similar podcast titles. I'm Right About Now and you're Right Now. And I just want you to know that I did not copy you, that it just kind of came out of, I love that Fatboy Slim song, Right About Now, the Funk Soul Brother, check it out now. And so I copied that. So
love it.
I just wanted you to know that. But I love your podcast, and I sort of became aware of it because it kept popping up when people would say, you know, if you like this podcast, you might like this podcast. And there you were. And you have a very, I would imagine, a very sizable audience. And you also, you know, talk to some really, really interesting people. I want to know all things Sarah. So let's backtrack here a little bit. First of all, you're in South Dakota right now?
I am in South Dakota right now.
Is that accent that they have? No, that's North Dakota, the funny accent.
Oh, the Fargo?
Fargo accent? Yeah, okay.
Although, okay, so I grew up in Cleveland, and now that I've lived in South Dakota for about 10 years, and people say that they can hear the Dakota, like they can hear it in my voice now. So it's like crept in insidiously, yeah.
Well, so what brought you to South Dakota? That's not a place that a lot of people, you know, move to, right?
It's not at all. And it's the most boring story in the world. And I apologize in advance. So I grew up in Cleveland, and I went to college in Indiana at a little liberal arts school called Valparaiso University. Okay. And there I joined a ska band.
Oh, cool.
Do you remember ska music?
Of course. The Specials and even No Doubt.
Boss Tones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was in a ska band. And the guy who ran the ska band, his name was Tim, and he did all the musical arranging. He did piano and backup vocals, and he and I started dating. And he was from South Dakota. And we graduated and realized that we really liked hanging out with each other. And so after a few years in Chicago, I decided I didn't like long distance relationships. And so I hoofed it over to South Dakota. And we've been here ever since.
That's true love. When you move from Chicago to South Dakota. No, all respect to South Dakota. I'm sure it's wonderful. I've never been.
It's a cool place. It's like, I like very little known underground sort of places. And this is like very little known underground. There's a lot of cool stuff happening here.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's a really cool place to be.
So you started your career off though in marketing, correct?
I started in traditional marketing. And so I started doing, you know, the brochures, the pamphlets, the, you know, bus wraps, billboards, all that kind of fun stuff. And then I transitioned, I was in in-house marketing, which is sort of when you work just for one company. And then I transitioned to an agency where you sort of have a lot of different clients at a lot of different places. And the agency I transferred to was a digital agency. And so that's when I really got into, you know, PPC ads, SEO, content marketing, all that fun digital marketing stuff. And that's also where I sort of fell in love with podcasting.
Ah, first of all, did podcasting come first or did writing come first? What was first?
The writing came first. Although okay. technically, if I'm going to be a nerd about it, the reading came first. I loved reading. And I think it's kind of natural sometimes when you love something, you want to emulate it. And so I went from a love of reading books to creating books. And, you know, first they're terrible and filled with, you know, terrible crayon drawings and held together by tape and, you know, whatever. They're terrible because you're a child, but they're also wonderful because you're a child and right. You don't have the same fears and insecurities you do as an adult writing. And so I started writing and I pretty much never stopped. So yeah. I'm still writing today. The podcasting came in about 5 or 6 years ago when I was frustrated with an aspect of my writing. And I had decided that I wanted to start blogging about writing and about sort of my writing journey and my failures, my many, many failures as a writer. And so I started a blog, and the blog itself was a failure, which was very meta. And and I was so frustrated. And I was talking to some of my friends, especially my one friend, Peter, who was a fellow marketing strategist with me. And he's like, Sarah, you got to get out of blogging. You got to get into podcasting. He's like, you know, it was like 2012 or 2013 at the time. There were very few women in podcasting, and there were pretty much no podcasts about writing other than Mer Lafferty's I Should Be Writing and just a couple others that are just sort of classics. Joanna Penn's The Creative Pen. And so I sort of jumped into the space and sort of translated my blog into a podcast.
So what kind of things did you talk about in your podcast in the early days?
In the early days, so now I do interviews and solo shows. In the early days, it was all just solo shows. And I would jump out on the mic and say, you know what, today I'm really struggling with character development, or I'm really struggling with like with getting out of bed, and or I'm really struggling with finding work-life balance, you know, because I had a full-time job at the time. And I was also trying to write, and I was trying to, you know, be a good family member and actually pay attention to the people I held near and dear who lived with me. And so that's kind of I always wanted to make sure that every episode was true to sort of the brand I had created, true to the message that I wanted to share. And that was, there's always time for writing, even if you're writing 10 words a day. And no matter what anyone else has told you, I run into a lot of people who have been told like, no, you're not a writer, or, you know, this just, you know, you have other strengths. Why don't you stick with those? I want to sort of crash through those barriers and say, you know what, if you can hold a pen or a pencil, or if you can type words onto a screen, you know, you are a writer, you have permission to write. You know, you might not win a prize, but you shouldn't let anyone else's thoughts stop you from doing something that you love.
Right. So it really started off with your sort of inner struggles and outer struggles with being a writer, and you just want to, in a sort of therapeutic way, you wanted to kind of get it out there. Were you talking about the different ways that you were coping with those struggles, or were you kind of asking for help too? Was it a cry for help from the listening public?
you know, That's a really good question. The honest answer is I kind of don't remember. My memory is terrible and it was years ago. I remember it was so heartening though. People started writing in, they started emailing me and saying like, hey, you know, I struggle with this too. And, oh, hey, what's your advice for this? And eventually, it became this really beautiful community. And I've actually made a lot of very close friends through podcasting, which is kind of funny because you think, you know, oh, I'm shouting into the void. I'm talking into a mic. Like,
right. How
is that community building? But it really is when you open up and you let people talk back and you invite them into your space. And so, yeah, it became sort of a therapeutic community, for lack of a better word. I was also at the time struggling with depression, and I had started taking antidepressants, anti-anxiety medication. And so I also sort of chronicled my journey with that as well throughout the show, just as an avenue that might be helpful for some, maybe not for others. But I wanted to kind of be very, very transparent and very honest with how that was working out.
Yeah. And that's what I like about your podcast is that you're very real and it's very much, you know, you're very authentic, to use a kind of an overused word in 2018. But I think that really works. And when did you start bringing guests onto the show?
I started bringing guests onto the show. Ooh, I could check, but yeah. I don't want all these clicking sounds to come through.
This will be fact checked later. So if you could make sure awesome. This is perfect. Yeah, no.
Good.
No, it's okay. No facts. It's fine. You know, you can be a little bit off.
So I'm just going to say like a couple of years ago, it had been a solo show only. And then I had gotten a few people saying like, hey, do you take guests? And I'm like, no, I don't. And most of it was because I didn't know how to interview people. I didn't know what I was doing. And I was like, oh, this is uncharted territory. I don't know what I would talk about. I don't know if I'd be any good. But finally, this beautiful, wonderful Canadian author, she sort of hammered down my defenses, and we scheduled a chat, and she was delightful. And she showed me that, oh, I can do this. It's just another way of building community. It's just another way of having a really smart, cool conversation about writing and sort of letting other people into it.
Yeah.
And so I branded them coffee breaks because I like them to just be, like you said, honest, authentic.
You say that as you have a cup of coffee in your hand. I see.
I have my coffee.
Yes.
And because I found that, not to go on too much of a tangent, but some of the best ideas and some of the best revelations I had were when I was sitting down to have coffee with someone, whether it was someone I knew or someone I was just meeting with in town here, or even over Skype, like we're doing now. You can come to some pretty cool conclusions and ideas and revelations when you just sit down and have a cup of coffee with someone. So I wanted to share that experience.
Yeah. I like that a lot. Your community sort of happened organically. It's not like you were like, I'm going to set up a Facebook page and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. So how did you nurture this community? Like when people reached out to you at first, was it through email or how did they find you? And then how did you kind of develop a larger community around your podcast?
Oh gosh, that's a really good question. So it's kind of interesting because like I said earlier with podcasting, it's kind of shouting into the void. I think that writers also feel very isolated. They're maybe a little introverted, and believe it or not, I am a huge introvert. Like I like to talk, but I'm also like after this conversation, I'm probably going to go like rock in a corner for a while and like heal from having, you know,
I'll try to be very nice to you.
Oh God, no, you're fine. This is what I love doing. So it was interesting. I had started a lot of writers groups in person, and they weren't always, you know, smashing successes. I started one in Chicago and I invited like 27 people, and there were two people who faithfully came, and it just didn't work out like I wanted it to. And so I was a little averse to starting communities, but I also knew the value of a writing community because I had been in workshops. I had studied writing in college and sat in many a critical circle.
Yes.
And just found immense value in just talking about your work and hearing other people's insights on your work. So basically I wasn't even thinking about that when I started podcasting again, because it's such a isolated sport. What I noticed though, was that podcasting is this weird cult of personality. And so if people are listening to your show, they almost develop a relationship with you unbeknownst to you. And so I started receiving emails from people who said, hey, I really identify with what you're going through. And then they would share their own story. And then I would write back and say, I love this. I love that you shared this story. you know, let's keep in touch. And I did that a number of times. And eventually these people became Twitter friends and Facebook friends. And eventually they were like, hey, do you have like a forum that you suggest where we can go and ask questions about writing and answer questions? And I answered this question probably about 60 times saying, no, I'm sorry, I don't know of any forums where you can go to talk about writing. Mm-hmm. And then eventually the lightning struck. And I was right. like, herp-a-derp, why don't I start my own?
Right.
So I started a Facebook community called I Am a Writer. And it's free to join. And there's about 1,700 people in there. And we ask questions and we talk about our struggles and we share our writer websites and tips. And it was a very slow growing community and one that I didn't even realize was sort of happening until like the wave crested, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm in this now. Okay. So that's kind of how that worked out.
And I like how you have certain themes on your Facebook page, like, you know, what is it like self-promotion Tuesdays or things like that?
Yes.
And was that sort of, did that just sort of come naturally? Is that something that you realized that your readership and your listenership was really interested in doing? Or
That's something that I've learned so much through podcasting. This is one of the other things I've learned is people, as you can tell from this conversation we're having right now, people love to talk about themselves, but I wanted
I have noticed that too.
I wanted sort of a two-sided system. So I wanted to invite people into a place where they could share their thoughts and experiences, but I also didn't want it to become this place where everyone was just shouting and not listening. And so I found that the best way to sort of the best way to facilitate that was give people specific opportunities and say like, hey, it's Networking Tuesday, go ahead and share a resource or what have you. It's Follow Friday, share your Twitter handle, giving people a set space to share just so that the entire community wasn't people just like spamming with their Twitter handle, you know, right. every day. So I think it's worked out fairly well.
Yeah.
People have responded pretty well to it. And then there's still room for pretty much the only rule is I want what you post to add value for everyone or, you know, for at least others. So don't say like, hey, you know, here's a link to my newest poem. You know,
yeah.
That's a little bit more taking than giving. And I want everybody to give
right.
and to give value. And so I mostly encourage posts like, hey, I have writer's block. What do you do in this situation? And then people can chime in and have a conversation. And then it really becomes a true community.
And is that probably why you set up self-promotion day? So that's the one day reserved for when people can just... And I have to say, I was tempted to be like, hey, check out my podcast, but I didn't do it.
You can.
Yeah, I know.
Hop in there, self-promotion Mondays or Network Tuesdays or whatever.
It feels
Jump
yucky.
In,
I
want to
give.
Links.
I want to give. I don't want to take. What would you say is the sort of number one question you get from writers? Because I'm sure you get a lot of questions. What's the most consistent question you get?
You know, that's a very good question. I get a lot of...
Was that the question? The question was, what's the question that you get
the
most?
What's the question?
Yeah. It's very meta.
I get that. No, I'm kidding. But I do. I get a lot of surface questions, but... I also get a lot of underlying questions that if you engage in a conversation with somebody and you dig into where they're really coming from, there's these underlying questions that are very common. So surface questions that I get are, oh, how do I develop a good character arc? Or, you know, how long should a blog post ideally be? But underneath those questions are the questions of, do I have permission to write this? Am I worthy to call myself a writer? What happens when I'm overwhelmed by fear? Like these are, I think those are the questions that people are really asking when they're asking the how to and the how shoulds. They're asking, am I a worthwhile person? Like, do I deserve to have my voice heard? And those are the questions that I really like to address. And I'll answer the surface questions, even though sometimes there's no right answer. You know, the blog post should be as long as it needs to be to get your story across. But also, yes, everyone struggles with fear.
Yep.
Absolutely everyone.
Every single person I've ever met who's a writer, no matter how successful they are, is always terrified to press that send button on the story, you know, when it's going to an editor.
Absolutely.
I remember talking to one New York Times writer and she said, like, I think this is finally the story where everybody's going to see that I'm really just a fraud you know, like she felt like she's always living in fear that she's not really a writer, even though she's made it to like the heights of the New York Times. And I just was writing my friend Taffy Brodesser Ackner, who's another writer at the New York Times. And I said that I was, you know, concerned about the story I was working on. And she said to me, she has said, like, I am panicked every single time I hand in a story. And this is somebody who's like won awards. And so anyway,
point is,
everybody is scared. And the only way to get through it to me is to write, right? It's to just do it.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Because you can either do it or you cannot do it. And if you don't do it, nothing will ever happen. And if you do do it, something might happen. And so go with that, you know, go down that path.
So what would you say your specialty is as far as writing? Like, what do you have the most experience doing? And what do you feel the most comfortable talking about when you're giving advice and things like that?
Oh, you are getting right into the heart of imposter syndrome. I love this. You asked earlier, you know, when did you start writing? And I said, oh, I've been writing forever. My heart is in fiction. My heart has always been in novels, in long form storytelling about journeys and developments and, understanding of the self. And so I feel like I have the most experience writing fiction because I have this drawer. It's right next to me, actually. I have this filing cabinet. It's full of novels that I have written and either never finished or never published. I have my literal drawer full of novels right here. And so, but I'm not a published novelist. I'm not. I've never published. I've published a few pieces of fiction. I've published a few short pieces. I've published poetry, which was mainly what I studied in college, was poetry. But these novels, I feel like I have the most experience with them, even though they're not something I've ever published.
Right.
Publishing wise, I've published poetry. I publish a lot of nonfiction. I do a lot of blogging. I have a column in Forbes about podcasting. And so I do most of my writing nonfiction, short form, sort of web content.
I think we're similar in that way, that most of my writing has been journalism, some long form. I wrote a fictional blog for Redbook for many years, which was almost like a novel. It was like a Sex in the City from a guy's perspective. And
love it.
That was fun. And I'm thinking about maybe publishing that. But it's interesting. I'm also not a published fiction writer, but I love fiction. It's what I love to read. It's what I love to write. Have you considered, now we're going to really geek out here because we're both people who love writing. Have you considered self-publishing? Like, I have a podcast up with Joanna Penn.
Love her.
And she's amazing. And she really got me excited about self-publishing. Have you considered it? I mean, what do you think about self-publishing?
I absolutely have. But I think, like most people who give advice, I am a huge hypocrite because, you know, I tell people, go for it, publish. And I don't do it myself. And so this is going to tie in a little bit to our conversation about fear. So I had this novel and I was podcasting one day. I was doing my Right Now podcast and I was like, what would happen if I just started like reading my novel into the microphone? What would happen? And I realized in that moment that I am so much more comfortable podcasting than I am thinking about publishing, because podcasting is something that's become as natural as breathing to me. And so this is where my podcast Girl in Space came from. Girl in Space was one of my unpublished novels that I was so terrified to send out. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to start performing it. And I started performing it and the story just changed dramatically because initially it was a single voice. And now I have multiple actors and things are just going off the rails and it's beautiful. And so what I'm going to do, I think, after season one of Girl in Space is over, is to novelize that and self-publish that and just see what happens. It's really bolstered
The Girl in Space. How did you?
Oh, thank you.
How did you? How has it been received?
It's been received very well.
I've noticed it has a lot of likes, or whatever. What do you see on iPod on the podcast, Apple Podcasts?
A lot of 5-star reviews.
Yeah, a lot of stars, and yeah, so that's
really
awesome.
Cool. It's been really validating. Yeah.
What was the most valid? What was the biggest revelation you had doing it?
The biggest revelation that I had doing it was probably, why did I wait so long? It was just, wow, I could have been doing this. I could have been doing this all along. I could have been publishing or publishing through podcast. I could have been sharing my fiction. It doesn't hurt. It didn't like destroy my soul. All of these fears that I had had that, oh, people will find out I'm a giant fraud. My parents will think I'm weird because I'm into sci-fi and like, I'm, you know, like my secret self is coming out and I'm scared to share that with everyone.
Yeah.
But it ended up, I got some 1-star reviews. I got some people saying like, this show isn't really very good. You know, you get your fair share of criticism, but overwhelmingly people have connected with the story. And more importantly, it's accomplished something similar to what the Right Now podcast has accomplished. And that is it's inspired other people to start podcasting fictional audio drama podcasts. And it's shared a message that's very important to me that each individual human person is a being of worth and value and that love is important, et cetera, et cetera. So that's been very rewarding and very, very cool.
It sounds amazing. So there will be a season 2.
There will be a season 2.
Now, how do you plan on doing that? Do you plan on writing it first as a novel and then reading it, or are you now going to write it more as a podcast script?
I'm writing it now as a podcast script, and I've done a terrible, terrible thing. And that is, I did not write and record the whole thing as a podcast script before I started releasing it. Initially, I just recorded episode 1. It was me. And then my mother-in-law does the voice of the AI, the robot.
That's awesome.
And I was like, hey, you know, do you want to do this with me? She's like, oh, sure. It'll be a lark. You know, it'll be fun. And so we recorded the first episode and it blew up and I was like, oh no. So now I have to keep going with this. And so I do each episode. I just wrote episode 8 and episode 8 was supposed to come out today, but I just sent the script off to my beautiful friends and family who do the voice work. And hopefully it'll come out soonish.
Do you think
it's a little stressful?
Yeah. So you don't have to tell me the answer to this, but I mean, is your fictional podcast even doing better than your actual writing podcast?
Oh yeah. Yes, wow. It is. And I think that says a lot. Well, I guess first and foremost, it says that, you know, fiction maybe has a broader appeal than a niche podcast for writers might. But it also tells me that there's a future here for storytelling. There are people who are hungry and desperate for audio storytelling. And if you're a struggling writer right now, it might be worth taking a look at jumping into podcasting to tell your story. I get emails like, when is the next episode? I'm addicted to the show. I need it. I need it. And that is only a good thing when you are a content creator.
That's amazing. I had never thought about doing a podcast instead of actually writing it down. And I love this idea. Man, you've totally confused me. Now I'm inspired. I had this whole plan and now I have a new plan. Maybe I should podcast it rather than publish it. Yeah, I love it.
If you've got the equipment, you've got a good voice, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe give it a shot.
Maybe give it a shot. It does seem to be a burgeoning part of podcasting right now is the fictional podcasting. I one of the people I interviewed was The Disappearance of Maurice Patel. Have you heard of that podcast?
I love that. Yes.
I was able to interview those guys and what an amazing story they had. Really, you know, just kind of like figured out like, let's try this. And then it just blew up. Like you said, it sounds like a very similar to what you're doing. Like it just blew up. They had no idea. They were just kind of trying something out.
Audiences want audio stories. They want them.
So are you going to be adding more sort of sound design and things to your podcast going forward?
Yeah, I jumped into this with no idea of what I was getting into. I have no background in sound design, perhaps obviously. What I'm hoping is that each episode of Girl in Space gets progressively and iteratively better. I want to continue getting better at this. I would love to feature more complex sound design. The very first time that like I layered a voice over some music, I like sat back and I was like, I'm doing this. And now it's like I do it all the time. And I'm like, okay, we'll have an explosion here and whatever here. But
yeah,
I'd even love to get more experimental because we think in terms of books and movies. We don't think in terms of audio. And I think that there's a lot of untapped potential in what an audio story can do that maybe some of these other mediums can't. And so I'm interested in exploring that as well.
Any calls from Hollywood yet? Any have people noticed it outside? You made a face. No.
Maybe after
this podcast, I hope.
Maybe after this, maybe after I appear on the Right About Now podcast,
this could be,
you know, Warner Brothers or whoever's out there will come a calling. I do know that podcasts, audio dramas like Tanis and The Bright Sessions have gotten those calls. Aaron Mankey's Lore is on Amazon Prime. So there's a real possibility. I know that producers and folks in the visual space, in the television and movie space, are looking at podcasts as a sort of new source for original storytelling. So who knows? Maybe it'll happen. Maybe I'll have no idea what to do if it does happen.
I think it's very likely to happen. So keep it up.
Thank you.
So this is the question that I get the most when I tell people that I'm podcasting. And how do you monetize that? It's sort of like the question I used to get when I told people that I was in digital video. Anytime you're doing something new, everybody always wants to know, how do you monetize it? And I love how they always use the word monetize. Like that's like some fancy word that only digital people use. You don't say, how do you monetize your job as a lawyer? But anyway,
right.
But the question is, are you able yet to monetize your podcast?
That is my ideal next step. I like to be transparent about everything that I'm doing.
Thank you.
I left my full-time job in April and I started ghostwriting books and doing freelance marketing consulting to make money. And over time I realized that I was sort of getting enough support on Patreon to begin to think about doing this full time and sort of shedding the ghostwriting and the marketing consulting. It's something that I would really like to do. It's a little risky. So Patreon is a third party donation platform if you're not familiar with it. And it's sort of like a PBS pledge drive where you say every time or every month, I'll give you a dollar for your show because that's what it's worth to me. And so I would say, I think right now about 0.1 or 0.01% of my audience is currently supporting the show through Patreon. If I can kind of keep that going, I would love to do Girl in Space full time. So
that would be great.
But you know, any podcaster would love to do their podcast full time, right?
Of course. If you do it,
yeah.
I mean, podcasting is a passion. I would love to do it full time. I mean, I think most of us realize that it becomes more of a marketing tool to push people to do other things that might pay us money. So the Patreon thing, did you feel comfortable asking people to give to Patreon? How did you broach that subject with your audience? Because I am completely uncomfortable with it. I will be honest with you. But
Oh yeah.
But I'm weird about asking for money about anything.
Oh no, I am too. I can't ask for a ride home. If I live in South Dakota, if I'm stranded, I can't call somebody and ask for a ride. I will walk home like in a blizzard. Like I totally understand. What I did was I had to look at what other people were doing. I had to realize that, oh, this podcaster I really admire just throws this thing in at the end of their show that says like, hey, if you like the show, help us cover costs, throw a dollar our way. Mm-hmm. It is something I'm still not comfortable with. I am still very uncomfortable even being paid for work that maybe deserves to earn money. I'm still very uncomfortable. Getting into freelancing helped with that because I soon realized that I was doing hundreds of dollars of work for free when I should be getting paid for it. And so that helped me transition my view of what it meant to be a paid creator and made me a little bit more comfortable saying like, hey, you know, there's no pressure, but if you like what I'm doing, you can help defray hosting costs. You can help, you know, my beautiful patrons paid for this microphone that you see here so that I could deliver better sounding content. That
what
didn't
kind
sound
of microphone
like I was,
is that?
This is just a Blue Yeti. It's $120. Cool. I love it. I don't have to use a mixer or anything. It cuts down on the equipment that I need to use.
Yeah.
It's just plug and play. So
it's fantastic. I have mic envy. I'm looking at my Shure. Mic.
What? You can't have them. You have a short. Like that's nice.
It is. It's
that's
a
like
good,
legit podcaster
that's a legit,
stuff.
I guess that's a legit podcaster.
And yeah, that's like what NPR uses.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Legit.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you married to a writer?
I am married to a writer. My husband is a journalist / graphic designer. He also does book ghostwriting. We have a tiny house in South Dakota. It's very cheap. So we were able to get a 3-bedroom house. And so, you know, we have one bedroom for sleeping and then we each have an extra bedroom as an office. And so he's over in his office right now doing some kind of post or something. And so, yeah, it's kind of fun because I can go out into the hall and say like, yeah, how's your writing going? Let's talk. Let's, you know.
Is he your editor too? He is my editor.
Yes. And I'm his editor, and it works really well because we both have really high standards and aren't afraid to hurt the other person's feelings. And so if I make something that's not good, Tim will tell me that. He's also my script editor for Girl in Space and has prevented a lot of really bad choices from coming to light. So
when you, I'm going to go back to Girl in Space for 1 second, because I have a question about that. So you were reading originally from your novel, but then did you have to sort of adapt it more for podcast format? Because a novel is different than a podcast, right?
I absolutely did. And you can hear it if you go back and if you listen to episode one, it's very much a narrator narrating. And then if you listen to future episodes, I begin to bring in more characters and I had to sort of change. I'd never written a script before. And there's people who are kind of like, I don't want to say like mad at me about that. They're like, why are you doing this if you don't even know how to write a script? And I'm like, I don't know. So I don't know. I don't have the, you know, whatever it is, 2-inch margins around the side and then like the intro colon day or whatever. It's just, it's pretty much just a novel that has people's lines highlighted in it. Right. I guess what I'm saying is it's a weird mishmash of both.
Yeah. What's your favorite time to write?
I love writing first thing in the morning and I love writing, after 8 PM. I used to like talk to my place of employment and I would say, you know, I would love a flexible schedule. If you really want my best work, then I need to work between like 5 and 8 in the morning and then 8 to midnight instead of 8 to 6 or 8 to 5 or whatever I had been working. And they were like, haha, whatever. And so I'm like, no, I'm serious. Like that's when I get my best writing done. So I was able to reserve my best creative time for myself and my own projects, you know, go to work, do whatever, and then come home and write.
Okay. So that's an interesting, so you find that I'm finding that a lot of writers are telling me that they work best really early in the morning. And so I'm trying to do that. And I tried to do that this morning, but I just couldn't get out of bed because it was cold. No. I can't complain about being cold in Los Angeles, but it was cold and like my legs were cold and I just was sitting there
getting out of bed.
I gotta write. But you just force yourself to do it, get a cup of coffee and And do you not check email? Do you just sort of go and get right into it?
Oh no, I'm terrible. So I reserve my so I hate writing in the morning and I only do it because it seems to work for me. That's when I write the stuff I don't want to write. So in the morning, like if I have a project that I'm like dragging my feet on, like I'll just slam that out. And then the 8 PM time slot is for me. Like that's when I'm my most creative. That's when, the best ideas come to me and that time is my time. So I totally understand about not wanting to get out of bed and, sort of hating.
Yeah.
It is. It's literally the worst.
And you're also writing stuff you don't want to write, which is what I did.
Exactly.
This morning.
And I totally get distracted. And my early morning writing sessions are totally full of email. They're full of me checking Twitter. I get stuff done, but it's not my enjoyable writing time.
Right. Well, this has been so great. Thank you, Sarah, so much for doing
this. You're welcome. I love this. And I'm looking forward to you being on my show as well.
I have no idea what you're going to ask me, but thank you for agreeing to let me be on. Yeah, it's fine. We'll just talk. Yeah, we can't talk about too much here because then it's going to ruin my podcast. So we have to like save something.
Yes. Thank you for inviting me to be on your show. This has been an absolute delight.
It has been fun. What are some of the other podcasts that you listen to that are like ours? Or do you ever?
Oh, gosh.
Like, what is that? I want to finish my book. What is that? Isn't that one that he, that's like been around, right? That's
been around for a while. I love Joanna Penn's show.
It is really good. Her show,
The Creative Pen. Oh, bless her heart.
She always sounds like you always sound like you're smiling when you're talking.
I usually am.
You are. That's why. It's a very like, and it makes you want to listen because it's like, so now when I'm doing it, I'm always like, I try to smile. I sound more smiley when I'm talking.
Just be yourself. If you're not a smiley person.
Oh, I'm pretty smiley.
That's a good way to be.
Yeah.
gosh, you know what? The shows that I listen to for inspiration, I'm very neglectful of my own like writing health. Yeah. I should listen to more shows and I don't. And that's, you know, that's one of the ultimate struggles as a creator is the education slash creation, right?
Yeah.
And then you're trying to fit all that. So you need to like learn to be a better writer. You also need to read constantly. You need to create a little bit every day, but you also need to wash the dishes and right. you need to like go to the gym. Apparently. I don't know.
Apparently. So that's what they like, say, those people.
I hate it. So yeah, so I'm very neglectful of my own writerly education. So I...
But I think it's also important...
When I listen to podcasts...
Yeah, what do you listen to? I'm interested what you do listen to when you're just listening to podcasts.
I listen to audio dramas. I've been listening to so many audio dramas and it's because I'm like a fiction junkie. So I've been listening to 2298. I've been listening to Mars Fall. I've been listening to Spines. There's just all these really, really great audio dramas out there. And then that inspires me to create Girl in Space. And then I realize I'm struggling with Girl in Space, which inspires me to create Right Now podcast episodes. So maybe they're all linked in the end.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I'm going to start listening to some of these audio dramas. I'm glad you gave me some suggestions.
I also love Tanis and the Black Tapes. And finally, if you want to get into it and you're not sure if you'll like it, listen to a show called Limetown. There's just, I think, 10 or 12 episodes. It goes by really quickly and it is expertly produced.
Really? I know Crimetown, but that's different. This is Limetown.
Limetown, yes. But Crimetown is also very good.
It's also very good, but that's not audio drama.
You know, Crimetown, Limetown, both excellent choices. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, I have so much information. Thank you for
Yay!
And I hope we can stay in touch.
I would love that.
Remember that little part of our conversation when we were talking about Patreon? Well, guess what? I launched a Patreon page. Patreon.com/writeaboutnowpodcast. If you aren't familiar with the ways of Patreon, it's basically an easy way for those who are interested in supporting this podcast to contribute even just a dollar to sort of help me pay for some of the things that I want to do with the podcast. If you feel so inclined to throw in a dollar a month, you will get a bonus podcast sent directly to you. $5 a month, you'll get a t-shirt, a Right About Now podcast t-shirt, which is super sporty looking. And for $15 a month, you will get a one-on-one consultation with me. So that's patreon.com/writeaboutnowpodcast. Thank you.
You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. And that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.